As you know, I was involved with the estate agents. You may know that in my business career, I dealt with the Grafton Centre.
Oh, really? Okay.
And brought the Duke of Westminster in on that project, which was almost lost. Opened in 1984, I think, by the Queen. Prior to that, I was phoned up, did I know the Kite? And I said, well, I know what was termed the Kite area, familiar with that part of Cambridge. I said, well, could you make a valuation of the Kite for us, because on behalf of some people who are interested in the development of it. And I said, yes, send me the plans, which they did. And I looked at the plans and I thought, well, that's my soul, there's a lot of property here. 12.5 acres, 156 properties, separate properties. And it's going to take a while to do, probably a couple of months' work. So I said, when would you like it by, the valuation? Well, do you think you could manage it by Wednesday? And I said, well, if you did, you would get what I call an a la carte valuation. In other words, I would value the property with no knowledge, of course, of what the rents were or the exact sizes. I said, you just get an estimate of what the individual properties could be, which they accepted. And so I did that valuation on behalf of a company known as Cheviot Estates, run by a chap called Galagos, who's a Greek, very tall chap, and he'd never take his coat off. I did that valuation, and so acting on behalf of them, we were in competition with three others in numerous meetings with the city council, and eventually we won the scheme for them. The company was quite a small one, and they reached a stage where they realised the project was far too big for them and they couldn't fund it. We were then in a difficult situation in that we had what was in fact quite a valuable contract to develop the whole of the Kite and no one to do it, because the company that we won the project for couldn't fund it. I was then stressed into trying to think what to do. I contacted a person that I knew who was managing director of a company known as Trafalgar House in London, put the project to him, and he came back. He said, Desmond, what you need is someone at the front end, at the pointed end. I said, yes, and that was a man called Victor Matthews, who latterly became Sir Victor Matthews and then Lord Matthews, now no longer. But Trafalgar House was a big company, having bought Cunard and British Cementation. So it was obviously a company with plenty of money. And I thought, well, who else has got... he said, no, this isn't a project that we would want to tackle. And so I thought, well, who else has got plenty of money? And I thought, well, perhaps the Duke of Westminster might have an odd pound or two. So I arranged a meeting with a representative of his organisation, a Dutchman by the name of Dick de Brocket. We met at the Gonville Hotel. He said, yes, we would fancy going ahead with this. And so they did, of course, as you know. They were the first developers of the Grafton Centre. It's interesting in that obviously they knew the area, but they didn't know it intimately as I did. Mm. It was a question of who owned the various properties in that area. Well, most of them were individually owned by either firms or individual people. Some of it was owned by the city council. They had acquired it and used vacant areas as car parks and so on. And it was a case of how could the site be assembled in order to be dealt with as a whole. And it was decided that the developers, Westminster Estates, would try to acquire as much of the property as they could. We were acting for them, so it was a case of negotiating the purchase of the individual properties comprised in the Kite. The City Council lost the powers of compulsory purchase. Without going into the details, I think it was an administrative cock-up, to be quite frankly, and they hadn't got them. So each property had got to be negotiated individually. So there was a buyback situation in that if Westminster Estates went ahead with the development of the Grafton Centre, then the city they would acquire the city council properties. If it didn't go ahead, the city council would purchase the properties acquired by Westminster. That meant that the purchase of every individual property had to be franked by the district valuer, which in the absence of compulsory purchase powers, you'll understand, created a quite a delicate situation.
If you own a property and you know that someone's got their eye on buying up the whole neighbourhood, you don't give it away, do you?
They could be a dog in the manger, which did happen in a number of cases, particularly in the celebrated Waffles Cafe, owned at that time by Virginia La Charité and her husband.
So what happened? She stuck out, did she?
Oh, yes. Backed by a number of, Liberal MPs or councillors. Number one, Christchurch Street, was lived in by a man who self-styled himself as the mayor of the Kite and used to go on mock civic processions. And when council meetings started at the Guildhall, he used to start it by blowing on a hunting horn. And you can imagine how that echoed through the old Guildhall then. He also stuck out the number one Christchurch Street and said that any purchasing his property would be over his dead body. We placated him to a certain extent, or to a great extent, because we eventually did buy it, by moving him to number 3 Christchurch Street and building a complete new house for him there, which we called it number 1, number 3 Christchurch Street. So that satisfied him. And, of course, we also had to acquire the Eden Baptist Chapel, which was an individual property on the corner, of course, of Fitzroy Street and Burley Street.
Yes.
And that was very interesting, because I had a meeting scheduled with them late one night with the elders of the Eden Baptist Church. And I started at the top floor of this building, a bit eerie on a dark night, about 10 o'clock, and I started by saying, we would like to buy your church. And I thought they might throw me out from the top window, but they said, okay, how much will you pay us for it? And I said, well, we'll negotiate on that. But I said, we negotiate from the point that we will rebuild you a new church within the area. And I said, then, now, what sort of seating capacity would you require? And they said, we think about a minimum of 500, 350 to 500 seats. Now, I was then involved with our local church, which on a good day, I think we could muster about 20. And so I thought that was being a bit overambitious. But of course it wasn't, because I don't know what they're doing now, but on a two-session occasion, I think they do muster about 500, or did, a time.
We were invited to go to the service, weren't we? And there were an enormous number of people.
Oh, but that was on a very special occasion, but I think it was a general service. So we did that. But eventually we bought all the properties. And